Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Reading from God's holy word as we find it in Acts chapter 20, sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles, but it's also could be considered as the Acts of the Holy Spirit working in the apostles. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, about Paul. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, having showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then going on to verse 25, and now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let's give thanks for this example. God teaches us by the teaching of his word directly, doctrine, and the call to repentance, the call to faith, the call to obedience. He teaches us by example. And Paul certainly is a good example, even as he describes himself here. Let's pray that God will call more laborers like Paul today. And let us pray that we will be more like Paul, as he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. When I think of what I read from the song, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Yes, we can only be happy in Jesus when we obey. When we disobey, there's a problem. There's a separation until we confess it. And then thankfully, because of him, we can be restored because of his death, his resurrection, his shed blood. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We give thanks that thou in thy love didst give him thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We confess fully, Father, we would all be perishing sinners if it were not for Christ. We would all perish in our sin and perish because of our sin. What a solemn thing it is. Help us to see the greatness of thy love, and help us to see the greatness and the awfulness of perishing. They are both there. We all start out in the perishing way. We can only have eternal life by coming to thee in repentance and in faith in Christ, as Paul here preached it. We pray that we might be able to understand that we will pray for more laborers to go into all the fields that are white of the harvest where the laborers are few, in our own nation and other nations. We think of our own nation and some other nations that have had so much more of the gospel in the past. Today, the church lessening and the church very little in England and Europe, where it was a great force in time past. And in our nation, the church was the leading voice and now the lesser voice. We pray that we might have repentance and revival in the church, that the church will again be a salt and light and not be a salt that have lost its savor. We pray, Father, for our nation, when many look back and do not want what our forefathers led us in and turn against it, many wanting a new and wrong way that other countries have and are suffering because of it, and we are given over almost to a reprobate mind to think wrongly. As Isaiah could say, they call evil good and good evil. We are there. We call it right to murder the unborn. Father, help us to see the awfulness of it and to see thy judgment on it when thou hast said, they that take man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed, and giving us the reason that because all have been created in thy image, and the unborn are also in thy image, known to thee, each one before they were formed in the mother's womb, each one of us as well. We pray that we might see the seriousness of it, also the brokenness of the home, and that there might be reconciliation in the home with each other and with thee, that thou wilt teach us again the way that thou hast declared so plainly, that what thou hast joined together, let not man put asunder. And we pray especially for the church again to see its error when it has compromised with the world, and that the church might repent and then call the rest of the nation and the homes to repentance. We pray for the children in broken homes that thou would lead them to thy word, that they might have a light in their path. We pray for those in sickness and injury that thou would give healing to them, give them faith to look to thee, Lord Jesus, as the great physician, to be healed. We pray for the many that are suffering in the war-torn lands, those that are suffering under the oppression of the Islamic, those that are suffering for righteousness' sake, those that are homeless, those that are hungry, We pray for those that are in sorrow, all these things, Father, for those in old age that are suffering and weak, and we pray that thou would give the grace to learn through all these ways the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. And we give thanks again that there's a way to prepare from thee, Father, through Christ. Amen. As we look at Paul here as an example, he declared what he did, and he declared this to the elders at Ephesus. Further in the chapter, we can read verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous woes enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears." He mentions again for the second time his tears. We read that in verse 19, "serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying of weight of the Jews." Tears. Do we see many tears today? I remember an older man who lived over 100 years old. He stated once that when he used to go to funerals and to visit the families and the people of those that had died, he said there used to be tears and there used to be sorrow. And he says, "And now we hear laughter and we hear lightness." That is certainly true. We have changed in the last generation from a place of tears to a place of lightness. And certainly we have more reason for tears today than our forefathers had. They had more reason to be thankful when they were closer to the way of the Lord than we are today. Each generation having gone further and further. A number of generations ago, we began to deny God as a creator. A generation ago, we denied God's holy law, "Thou shalt not murder," and we have made it a right to murder the unborn. Now, when the law has been changed back to the way it should have been, then there's a terrible rebellion against that. We as a nation are in jeopardy. We are in danger because of denying God as creator. Like Romans 1 says, they denied him, they came into darkness. And a little further we read, "professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And that's where we are. We do foolish things. We destroy ourselves. We destroy especially for our children and grandchildren. How we have to come back to tears, and how we have to come back to the Word of God that Paul preached. Thankfully, we have it in Scripture. That has not changed, but we have changed in the church. We have come to the place that Paul warned against. When he wrote to Timothy, he stated, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Paul was exhorting Timothy to do what he himself had done. He warned, "Turn to fables, half-truths," and that is what is there today. And especially when we think, as I've mentioned different times, the inroads that Arminianism has made. We can call it Arminianism because Arminius was one that promoted that doctrine against the doctrines of salvation by grace alone and by grace entirely. All of that. And I know it for myself because I was in error for many years and had to learn that the doctrine of Arminianism was a doctrine of pride, a doctrine of self-righteousness. It was a fable. We thought that Christ did something for salvation and we did the rest. That is a fable. Christ does it all. Only because of him can God deal with you and me in love. That's all. Only him. Without him, we're under the wrath of God. Rightfully, like Jonathan Edwards preached, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And people believed it. They repented. He was preaching repentance toward God. They had to see themselves sinners in the hands of an angry God instead of thinking they were all saints. In Arminianism, the way of pride, that much of it was by the works of man, sometimes the work of faith, sometimes the work of the law, both together. That was the error that was there in the time of Edwards, and he preached against it, and God blessed it to what we call the Great Awakening. Edwards called it, God began extraordinarily to work amongst us, and how we need that, how we need to pray for that. I want to emphasize as much as we read these words here of Paul to the church at Ephesus and learn from them, pray, pray, pray that God will teach us what he taught Paul, that God will teach us what he taught these Ephesians in their beginning. Sadly, they also had to be reproved later when God told John to write to them and tell them that they had left their first love. They had gone away from that love to God, that love to Christ, and what a danger that is. And here is the answer. Paul says, serving God with all humility of mind and many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying of the way of the Jews. A very important thing, humility of mind. That brings us away from our natural way. Our natural way is pride. Most of the Jews at that time, as Paul wrote of them to the church at Rome, he said they going about to establish their own righteousness. Paul had done that himself as a Pharisee, and now he had the change of thought as he could confess it. And as he wrote to the Philippians, describing it, Philippians chapter 3, but those things which were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Something to throw away. Something that is waste. Our righteousness is not there. Our self-righteousness has to be thrown away, has to be counted as dung. And that's what Paul did. Now he could say, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's what repentance toward God does. It brings us to humility. It brings us to humbleness. I'm only a sinner that can do nothing but sin. That's a phrase that came to me in my conversion. I had to learn that, and it was true. I was only a sinner that could do nothing but sin. That's all. It's a terrible thing that we're in that state, and it's awful if it stays there when God leaves us there. It's terrible if we come back to that and sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth. God gives us strong warning that there's no sacrifice for sin if we do that. That is certainly a fearsome thing. We have to see that, the awful danger, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. The only ones that can be true for is those that come short of salvation, because those that are truly saved will be always saved, and they will have the forgiveness of sins. But there is a danger of seeking the Lord, of knowing much, and then turning away, sinning willfully after receiving all that knowledge, called to repentance, called to faith, called to obedience, and then not continue in it. That's a danger. Afraid there's too much of that today, when there are those who are lukewarm and seeking. Christ gives a very strong warning when he says, strive to enter in, for once the master is risen and shut the door, and you stand without and begin to knock, saying, Lord, open to us. They have sought, but they have stayed in the sin of unbelief, probably other sins as well, and the door is shut. They know it too late. Don't be that one that will know it too late, that you must enter in the door, who is Christ, who is the bread of life, as we read here from the latter part of Paul's exhorting the elders here, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God he hath purchased with his own blood. We have to feed the church of God. And what is there to feed? Christ is the bread of life. He said it twice, recorded in John chapter 6. And he said, except to eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. For those who with Paul have come to humility of mind, who with Paul have listened to the message of repentance, that we are sinners and we have to be humble and thankful before God that we're still here, that we have not received yet the wages of sin, which is death. I could have received that long before God called me to salvation. I deserved it. I earned it. Earned it in self-righteousness, earned it in pride, earned it in disobedience, earned it in unbelief, all these things. The true message of repentance not only leads us to be humble sinners before God, but thankfully we can be saved sinners before God. And that's why Paul can say here, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, and then giving us the message, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When we have true repentance, we won't be able to live with ourselves. We won't be able to live before God without Christ. We'll be so miserable. I've read of times when there were wonderful awakenings in the church and how miserable some people were, sometimes for weeks, miserable in their sin. And I can remember being miserable. I can remember praying to God and even saying once I was so miserable and said to the Lord, I'll dig a hole if you'll save me, just if I can get more humble before you. But that wouldn't have done it. If I would have dug a hole and found comfort and peace and assurance, then I would tell others to do that. But it is coming back to what I just said a moment ago. Christ said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. We must have him who is the bread of life. And we must have him by the preaching of the word. That's what repentance leads to when Paul says, reading again, verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There's many other things to preach in the way of obedience, the way of doctrine, the message of creation, the doctrine of marriage, the doctrine of the coming again of Christ. But in the main and the first thing, Christ himself preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, as Matthew describes it. Mark describes it a little fuller when he says, Christ said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Paul is really saying here. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what two necessary truths to have preached and believed. It is by the foolishness of preaching that God saves those that believe. They must hear the message. Repent. Repentance really does two things. Many people think that repentance is just turning from sin and getting better. That is one part of it. But the other part is not getting better, but getting worse. Worse than I ever thought I was before. Coming to the end of self. Coming to know I deserve hell, and I will go to hell unless God takes me off that path. That's what repentance does. Brings us to submission to God's word concerning us. We are hell-deserving sinners, every one of us. If left to ourselves, that's all we would ever be. That's what we would have in the end, punishment in hell. As Christ said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Again, teaching it by example, the rich man who died lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. One radio listener wrote, he thought hell was just a saying, but hell is a reality. Christ warns against it very, very much. We need to experience it in repentance that we are going to hell unless we are saved. We're born on that road. We're going in that direction. Sadly, if left to ourselves, we would choose it. That's why God had to say to the apostles, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And that was mainly in regard to the apostles and bringing the message of bringing forth fruit and fruit that would remain. But in a way, it's true also of our salvation, that God has chosen us. And otherwise, we would continue to go away from God. He not only chooses us and makes it known with his word, but also, thankfully, with his Holy Spirit. Here we read the message is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it's applied, as it was when Peter went to Cornelius, the summary of it was afterwards, then hath God granted them repentance unto life. He granted by his Holy Spirit that they were brought to repentance and brought to life in Christ, or faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we have to see as Paul as an example. And we need to do that. And we need to see this as God's way for every one of us. If we don't come in humility of mind, then what? God resists the proud. He'll push us away. He won't call us. He came to call not the righteous, not the proud, but sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He gives the example, he says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And we are sick in sin, terribly, individually, in the home, and sadly, a part of the church. The church is sadly divided. We are like the Corinthians, except we don't repent like they do. And as I said before, there are a number of churches that I know that have divided in these last months, divided over the truth of doctrine, divided over the way of morality, the way of the homosexuals, the way of transgender. The churches have divided, some being on one way, some another. And we are in a sad state. A house divided cannot stand. It will fall. And the church is falling. And like the old saying sometimes says, they can't both be right when there's a difference. But they can both be wrong. They can both come short. They can separate in pride. And each one thinking I'm right, the other's wrong. But not seeing the other's wrong, and so am I. And that's what we should see. Instead of division, there should be discussion. How can we discuss? How can we exhort each other to come back? And that's what Paul here is saying to the elders. Verse 31 of this 20th chapter. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul warned them. He was an example to them. He not only called them to make them overseers to feed the church which he purchased with God, but also, as we can read in other places, and especially to Timothy, to make elders that would endure sound doctrine and that would do what was needed in the way, especially when Paul wrote both to Timothy and Titus. When he wrote to Titus what he was to do as a witness, he said, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. And so that was a needed thing. The elders would do that. Titus would do it. Timothy would do it. And as we read the warning of Paul saying in the latter days, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But the word to Timothy was, therefore watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. That's what must be done today to everyone who is an elder, who is a pastor, who is a teacher, who is an evangelist, and then pray for more pastors, more teachers, more laborers to go in the fields that are white as the harvest. This is the command of Christ, and one thing that we can do safely. Let's pray for that, and let's do what Paul did in humility of mind and love to Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.